The penguin was as tall as a person. The new species called Crossivalia yperensis was 4 times as heavy as the emperor penguin. It was also 40 centimeters taller. New Zealand is known for having oversized extinct birds, including the world's largest parrot. The penguins were believed to have evolved after the dinosaurs disappeared between 66 and 56 million years ago. This was the 5th ancient penguin species discovered from fossils. It's unclear why they disappeared, but researchers believe it was linked to the arrival of seals and whales.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Kenzie Beard, Imara Moore, Dan Raphael, and Jason Shermans. The producer is Ray Bodwell, and our engineer is David Kesters. The Director of Evening News and Public Affairs is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Leslie McLam.
And I'm Ethan Fry.
Now it's time for News from the Boo, the weekly segment from people inside of and around KBOO, with news from your community radio station.
I like you, but I think that I could love you. Would you love me back? I could love you. Matter of fact, I really want to, but would you love me back? Lately, I've been thinking of you. Would this relationship come to? I've been happier because you. I really think that I could love you, but could you love me too?
I'm not afraid to News from the Boo, and we got a very special guest tonight. You were just listening to I Could Love You by Kayla J. Kayla J, what's going on?
What's good?
Hey, last time I talked to you, we were on the radio, but you were interviewing me, so I'm happy to have you in the hot seat.
Yeah, that's tight.
Yeah, that song is dope, man. I love the dynamic of starting off a cappella.
Thank you.
I love the vulnerability.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're dope.
Thank you so much. That's a voice memo that from my phone when I was first, trying to like write the song and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we just decided to use that in the front of it.
Word. So your process, part of your process is to capture the thoughts as they come, huh?
Yes, I like to. I used to actually write when I was younger, but now I just put it in my notes on my phone. And sometimes I like to record it in my voice memos and just like if I'm singing or just to remember my delivery on a certain track, on a certain verse, see if I want to change the delivery at all. And
So that's you as a hip hop artist. I wanted to talk to you about a couple of things tonight. Mm-hmm. Your recent album, this song is a single off of that album, correct?
Yes, correct.
And then I wanted to talk about this event that we got coming up in the near future. And also, just let people get to know you a little bit. So let's talk about the event that you've got coming up, and then we might circle back to this one more time before we're done.
Okay. What?
So what is the event?
I'm sorry, I have too many events going on right now. Can we just go back to it?
So let's circle back to the event, and you can pull up the info so you can have it to reference. I know exactly what you mean. If I don't have the where, the time, and everything in front of me, sometimes I might not. Now, there's an event called Unity.
Yes.
That's a women's event. There's all women artists. Do you want to tell us about
exactly
that?
Exactly. Okay, so the event is called Unity. It's at Doug Fir Lounge, which is pretty dope. I love that venue.
Love it.
And it's pretty much an event that will probably be one of my favorite events because it's kind of everything that I stand for. It's about black and brown indigenous women coming together and just, having a hip-hop show and just making music that, uplifts women and just putting women on the forefront. We've been having a few attacks in the media towards women, artists in hip-hop. Jermaine Dupri literally said that female rappers is like the battle of the strippers. And, we've been having a lot of, lists that are being made about all the rappers in history. 100 people, 50 people on it, with no woman on there at all. Not even Lauryn Hill, like not even nothing. So, I feel like we just been having some attacks towards some women in hip hop, and I think that this event is perfect for the timing because it's so many dope women, So I'm really excited just to have been asked to be a part of it, and it's gonna be really, really fun and really, really dope.
It's probably gonna be 21 and up though, huh?
Yeah, it is 21 and up. Yeah, it is.
And so this Unity is going to be at Doug Fir. When is it going to be?
It's going to be next week on Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, the 20th.
Tuesday the 20th.
The 20th, yes. It's going to be super lit. Lineup is lit.
Who else is playing on that lineup? Is Karma Rivera on there?
It's not Karma Rivera. The names are a little bit difficult because these are women that are they're from out of town. I want to say them, but I don't want to slay their names on the radio.
So Kayla J is definitely going to be at Unity on Tuesday the 20th.
And the two other women are really, really dope as well. If you want to check them out, you can go on my Instagram page, and I've tagged them on the flyer, the Unity flyer. So just check them out on my Instagram, Kayla J, KAYELAJ _. Like I said, they're... I don't want to slay their names because their names are Espanol, so I just don't want to slay them on the radio because I know I hate when people slay my name on the radio.
Noche Libre, DJ Lepashi.
Yeah, but these are the
Valentina, the two Peralta, Mare Advertencia, Lyrica. OAX. So this is going to be a packed lineup, man.
Yeah, it's packed.
Black and Latinx, indigenous women artists.
Yes.
Again, so I'm definitely trying to be down there for that. That sounds really super dope. It's like a lot of times at hip hop shows, like you mentioned, these lists that people are coming up with that don't even have the presence of non-men and women on the list.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty ignorant. Like, there's the ignorance of not knowing, and then the ignorance of willfully ignoring. But
yeah,
what I was trying to say is that a lot of times at hip hop shows, it's a predominantly male audience.
Exactly.
Especially at underground hip hop shows. So it would be cool to be in a room where the balance was like more on the side of.
I feel like at a lot of my shows, uh-huh. I can't speak for everybody else, but my shows have a pretty good balance. Like,
okay,
I see some men, I see women, I see queer people. Mm-hmm. I see black people, white people. Like, I feel like for the most part, my shows are a good mix, a good mixture. And of course, that's depending on what area of town they're into. But
right, right.
Yeah.
So when I was coming up, you know, I've been rapping since I was a shorty. And,
yes,
you know, the queer, gender fluid hip hop audience wasn't something that was as accepted in the broader hip hop culture and community. Yeah. Have you seen that shift in your lifetime as a hip hop artist?
Oh, heck yes, definitely. Okay. Like, it's a major, major, major difference. Like, it's a major difference. It's mm-hmm. just like, we have social media now. We mm-hmm. have, you know, we don't have those different avenues or those different kind of mainstream people or we have social media, basically. We don't have to depend on people to put us out there.
So the gatekeepers don't block
exactly,
you as much.
Exactly. So we can literally just be ourselves and just be gay and just put it all on our social media, and we can find our fan base. Mm-hmm. And we can use hashtags. We can promote it. And whoever follows us and whoever streams our music, whoever likes it, like it.
Yeah.
Whoever books us. You know, by that time, they didn't did their research on us. They know what we're talking about. And whoever likes us. So I think that a lot of people are just being inspired, just seeing more and more queer people on the forefront and just popping and doing their thing. There's a lot of, you know, TV shows now centered around gay people, specifically gay black people. Pose, I love Pose. I love all the things that Lee Daniels is doing. And yeah, I just feel like it's like when you see your first black person in a big magazine or like on a dope platform, and you just see that they're successful. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it makes it seem like, okay, well, if I come out, everything is gonna be all right. Okay. My life won't be over. I can be successful too. You know, so the more people come out, the more other people are gonna come out, and the more successful people are, like, that that makes it more appealing. Because I remember being young, mm-hmm. and my mom was 4 years clean before she had me, so I grew up in her recovery, and all the gay people that were around me were in NA meetings and were in recovery. And so that wasn't necessarily like a good symbol to me. I didn't know if I wanted to be out, because I was like, what went on in these people's life that led them down this road, you know? So I didn't have as many, you know, really dope gay role models as I do now, which is really, really dope. And mm-hmm. I hope that a lot of other younger kids feel the same way as well.
Yeah. So the clarity with which you address identity mm-hmm. is something that not a lot of artists do. It strikes me as a lot of courage, but it also strikes me as just like, that's actually who you just really are. So
yeah.
How long have you been an artist, and what is the conversation that you have with yourself about what you choose to address with your art?
Yeah. For a long time, I didn't even want to make music. I didn't even want to make art mm-hmm. because I still am a young adult. But when I was a younger adult, I was figuring everything out. I was like, when I was in high school, I was going through a lot of mental health problems. When I got to college, I was trying to go down a whole other path to be a counselor because I thought that I needed to make my dreams more realistic and more attainable. And I was more into doing the things that I thought that I should do, mm-hmm. and the things that I thought that would make other people proud of me, but I wasn't thinking about who I wanted to be and what I wanted to do that would make me happy. And when I was in college, I started to develop more self-confidence. I started to work out. I started to really figure out myself and how I could be happy. And so, I just realized that I was gay, and I just came out. I came out to my friends and my family, and I started to immediately become happier, immediately become more confident, because I could wear what I wanted to wear. I could just now be myself. And after that, shortly after that, I realized, all right, I do want to make music. I do want to get back into it. And it was perfect timing, because I was getting ready to graduate, and I feel like I needed to really focus on music and give it my all and give it the intensity that it needed to have. So yeah, I had to find my identity before I put music out there and promoted it to the world. I wanted to be secure within myself and who I was, what my message is, who my audience is, and everything like that. And I feel like I executed that, and I'm proud of my first singles that I put out, because I felt like they were very accurate of who I am.
You know, that's really important, because I think that people's identity is used against them, and especially in hip hop and especially in entertainment. If there's an aspect of their identity that they are closeted about, it's like it's used as a weapon against them.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. See what happened with Drake and his secret son and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I'm pretty sure he's relieved, because
the world knows it's now. You don't have to be burdened by it.
Exactly.
You know, it's so you came out first, and then you started doing music, or what? Were they going on? Okay.
Yep, I came out first, and then I started doing music shortly after that. But, or at least I came out, and then I had the idea that I wanted to get back into music. But by this time, Portland music scene had completely changed, and I had not been there. And also, when I was doing music, at first I was a kid, so I couldn't really get booked like that, couldn't really get into the venues, you know. But I realized, all right, I'm ready to go. I want to get back into music. But the Portland music scene had changed, but I knew Fontaine from going to SEI with Fontaine, Self-Enhancement Incorporated, a program for underprivileged youth. So we would be in the SEI studio when we were kids, and I knew that Fontaine, or Mikey as I call him, I knew that he was still doing music. And so what I did was I put out some acapellas on my Instagram page and on Facebook, and like Mike Capes had seen it and was sharing it, and it was like getting some views. And then Fontaine commented on one of them, and I reached out to both of them. I reached out to Mike Capes, and we met at a New Seasons, and we just talked about everything. And I just asked them both, like, what's going on now? Like, who are the people? Who should I follow? What type of spaces should I be in? What kind of things should I do? And they both gave me great advice, and I just followed it to a T.
Wow.
Exactly.
So wait, how many years have you been rapping?
I've been rapping since I was in second grade. I made my first rap. I saw a Lauryn Hill doo-wop video, and that inspired me to rap. And then I just started writing, and then I actually said it in front of a big, my first time rapping was in front of a big group of people, because in SEI we used to do these summer camps, and we would have a little assembly where everybody get together, and you know, SEI, you can win points, and then at the end of the summer the points turned into real money depending on how many points that you got. So they had opportunities to come up there and win points, and somebody could dance, somebody could do poem, whatever they want to do. And so I don't know what came over me, but I just went up there and I did my rap. And for a little kid, it was tight. Like, you know, so everybody was hyping me and stuff. I don't have video or nothing, because this was something that we just did every day.
Yeah.
But I don't think they thought I would go up there and just say a rap that day. But I do have footage of when I used to do the, like, SEI talent shows and stuff like that. I know that my auntie and uncle still have footage of that.
Right.
Yeah. So I started just doing their talent shows and their assemblies performing, and that's where I learned to record in a recording studio at SEI. That's where I learned to perform in front of an audience, everything.
Wow. Yeah. So some of your influence, you mentioned that you had some guidance and support from Mike Capes and Fontaine. Who are some of your other local influences?
Carmen Rivera. I really like the I like how passionate she is about her work, about her shows. She does everything by herself as far as booking her shows, as far as making sure that she's being paid her worth for her shows. I love her fire and intensity. I love how she's unapologetically herself and how she speaks up for herself. And I really do admire that. And I try to have that same passion that she has. So I really admire her, too. I love her, and I really appreciate how she supported me. So she's one of them. Raquel DeVar is another one who supported me. They're both super dope. Yeah. They're both super lyrical. They really, really, really everything. Like, their craft, their music is everything to them. And so those are two other people that I really, really admire.
Right.
Yeah.
And then what's the name of this current album, and where can people find it?
This current album is called Dyke, D-Y-K-E, which stands for Don't Yield, Keep Enduring. You can stream it everywhere on every platform, iMusic, Spotify, Tidal, but it's also available on SoundCloud. I just try to, Bandcamp, I try to make it accessible everywhere. And yeah, just check it out. It's pretty much my life story, my autobiography, and it's 18 tracks, so just
that's a big
enjoy.
Record. Yeah,
it's a big record. Enjoy, take your time. I've gotten a lot of good feedback from it, and yeah, just check it out.
Is there a KaylaJ.com?
Oh yes, there is a KaylaJ.com, KaylaJ.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, KaylaJ_ for both of those. I also just dropped a new music video based off of my mixtape homage, where I paid tribute to all the black female rappers before me. So it's called Homage, and I just made, it's actually a short film written by myself, produced and directed by Brill from Kill Class Productions. Lastly, I know we're up here promoting the Unity show, but I'm headlining my first bigger venue at Mississippi Studios tomorrow night.
Oh man.
Tomorrow night at doors at 8, starts at 9, and this is my first time at a bigger venue. My first time headlining was at Kelly's Olympian, which is smaller, which, shout out to the Thesis, I love you guys, but yeah, this is a big moment for me, so yeah, it's gonna be super dope.
And I'm gonna hit you with a heavier question, because I know you can deal with heavier things.
Yep, facts.
What do you think the connection between art, culture, music, and politics looks like, and are you satisfied with what you see when you see those, the intersection between those things?
Yeah, I think that I am satisfied. I don't, so I think that hip hop culture kind of encompasses all of those things that you talked about, because I know that hip hop back in the day, it was a tool for, you know, black people in impoverished communities to talk about politics and to talk about what kind of things that they were going through that was not being displayed on mainstream media. So I feel like hip hop does encompass a lot of those things. I kind of want to steer off a little bit and just say that hip hop is still doing that thing. Hip hop is not dead. I feel like in that aspect, I feel like throughout every generation, you had your flashy rappers, you had your rappers that talked about, and not even that's a bad thing, that they talked about materialistic things, because that was fun music, and it evoked fun and having a good time. And you had your conscious rappers, just now, just like here in our day, we have our Kendricks and we have our J. Cole's, but we also have our 21 Savages, and we have our, you know, our fun rappers as well. So I feel like hip-hop did that back in the day. It had you know, black culture, it had politics, it had art all wrapped into it with the visuals and with the music videos. I know back in the day, music videos, it was like they were making a movie. Like, that's what type of budgets they had for that, and that's what type of creativity went into it. And I feel like that's still happening today and it's coming back. We had a little era where people was just had a nice car with a white background and whatever, whatever. I'm not trying to shame that, but we got some artists now too that's doing like really dope art. The song, the music video, shout out Marquee, just put out a really dope video for his song Full Outfit. And it's the type of thing that I'm talking about. There's choreography, there's concept, you know. So I feel like it's all going into one another, and it's still happening now.
Okay, so on the way out, you did mention you just did a new video. So that's on YouTube?
Exactly, yep.
And does it have some of the examples of some of what you talked about that you appreciate is exemplified in the video?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. It's not so much about politics. It's more of a love story, but it is a lesbian love story, so I guess
it's political.
It's political, and yeah. it's social issues, you know. So, and it's a really good storyline. It's called Homage.
Homage.
Yep. Okay. You can check it out on my YouTube channel. Actually, the link is in my bio. So I gave you guys my Instagram, Kayla J _. The link is in my bio, and you can check it out.
And written Kayla by me. Is spelled K A Y
E
L A
J _.
And then we're going to go out with one more joint off your album. I want you to introduce Gentlemen's Club.
All right. My name is Kayla J. You just got done listening to my interview with the legendary Mike Crenshaw. And this is one of my favorite tracks, and it's called Heat's Gentlemen's Club.
Show me. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Unless otherwise noted, the Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday at 4:30 p.m.